Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
We had such a nice month of May with all these days in the 80s, and it was that rare transition in St. Louis, where you go from spring, like spring temperatures, and you don't go right into triple digits, and that's all changed today. Dave Murray's on the line. Yeah, we got the the heat indices up in the triple digits already, Dave Murray, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Now, remember back in May, yes, it was beautiful, but you were all complaining about when is it going to get hot? When is it going to be summer?
That's true.
Here it is. Thursday, we were 92. Today, we hit 96. Tomorrow will be in the low 90s, most likely, so that will make it an official heat wave, the first one of the season, 3 days in a row of 90-plus. So we're getting there.
Well, to your point, and I have actually said this to a couple of people this week because I do like to complain about things, but I'll take the heat over the cold. I really will. I'll take the heat over the cold. And I was telling these guys, and you can relate with this because you live in a different place right now, but I was in Las Vegas over the weekend. I think it was 108 last Friday, and that was a record for either that date in June or at some point in June because those are typically more like August temperatures. But, Dave, today with a
dew point, dry heat though,
but it is a dry heat because I'm telling you, with today's temperatures and with a dew point of 72, this is much more miserable than 108 in Vegas.
Oh yeah, Dave, oh yeah, a dew point of 72 certainly gets your attention.
Dave, will you explain the dew point again, please?
It's the direction the dew points.
Oh my gosh! Did you see that? Did you hear that, Andrew?
Did you not see that coming?
Yeah, I got it.
There was a bit of a beat there. It was like, okay, let me think about that. No, wait a minute.
I guess you don't get it.
Sorry, I asked.
All I know is that when it's high, it makes it feel very, very sticky. When it's low, I've been talking about the dew point for 30 years. I have no idea what it is, but I just know that when it's high, it's sticky. And when it was, 108 in Vegas, I checked. It was 26. That was the dew point.
Sure, yeah. And sometimes out there, the dew point can be like 5.
Right.
But it basically is a better measurement. Relative humidity, which we're all kind of used to, is relative to the atmosphere. Warm air can hold a lot more moisture than cold air can. So the dew point is a temperature, and the closer you get to the temperature with the dew point, the worse in the summertime, the worse it's going to feel. So the general rule of thumb is 70 degrees plus, you feel it. 75 degrees plus, it's like a wet washcloth coming down on your head.
Oh, yeah.
The highest I've seen in St. Louis, I think, is 81, maybe 82. And that was one of those days. Now, in contrast, when the dew point's really high, it's hard to get above 100 degrees. So it does tend to keep the temperature down, but that's not much consolation.
I always kind of remember the worst days, not officially on the dew point, but sitting in the old Busch Stadium in the upper deck in particular when it was, triple-digit dew point, and you're just sweating like crazy. Those are my fond
memories.
Made you
a man.
Yeah, those are my fond memories.
Made you a man.
All right, well, Dave, what do we got in store here for the near term? Is it going to start to keep getting hot? Because I thought I saw some trends. We were getting back into the low 60s overnight, but that might have gone by the wayside.
No, that's still okay. Tomorrow is still a hot and humid day, partly sunny skies. There's a cool front dropping in from the north. It's what we call a backdoor cool front, kind of comes at us in a little different direction. But it should get through St. Louis, but not until the end of the day tomorrow. So we're going to go 92, and as that front gets a little bit closer, there will be a couple of pop-up thunderstorms around. Not for everybody, but where they do happen, there'll be some brief heavy downpours of rain and some lightning, and the temperature will cool about 20 degrees in the matter of minutes. It's just that rain cool there, but then it bounces right back. So there, it's one of these days, again, we just have to kind of keep an eye on the sky. There's going to be a lot of rain-free time. Right now, there's a huge thunderstorm complex out in northwest Missouri. Probably get as close as Jeff City. It's not a player at all for the St. Louis area. That front comes through tomorrow evening. Winds will turn to the north, and the upper atmosphere turns to the northwest. So that means everything dries out. It will be slightly lower humidity, especially late night as we drop back to 67 degrees. Sunday, lots of sunshine. Now, it's still 90 degrees, but the humidity is going to be noticeably lower on Sunday. That should continue on Monday. There's some confusion about a second cold front coming through probably Wednesday or Thursday of next week. If it gets through, it could really knock our temperatures back, but we're not quite sure right now if the summer air mass will continue to kind of push it back to the north. But that's at least a little hope on the horizon. Also, since it's summer vacation time, I have a lot of interest in the Gulf of Mexico, 18, 19, and 20th of June. Some tropical development is possible anyway. Long way off, being, you know, only the 11th. But it's a concern because it is summer vacation time, and the Central Gulf is the area that I would be more concerned about than anything else. Not a factor for us, but it's, you know, it's showing us that the tropics are starting to boil a little bit.
Appreciate the update. Dave Murray, have a great weekend. We'll try to stay dry here in St. Louis.
Absolutely. And Sue, did I explain dew point well enough for you?
Oh, Dave. Yes. Actually, you did. Actually, it was you who told me that the temperature, when it's the closest to the dew point, that's when it's the worst. I just didn't know why.
Right.
I always forget. I've had the explainer I don't know how many times over my life, and I always forget. Dave, we'll catch you later. Take care.
Thanks,
man.
Dave.
See ya.
You got it.
So just before the hour, you know, I think at the end of the last hour, I showed both of you this picture, and I still don't know what to do with it. I've had this never-ending saga of ticks inside my house coming off my animals. And once again today, and I don't remember it being this bad ever, and we've had some bad years, but this was a tick that's almost the size of a penny because my wife sent a picture with a penny, and it's one of those ticks that had to be on the animal. It sucked the blood, so it's all blown up, and it looks gross. It looks like an M&M, actually.
It does.
It's almost the size of a big peanut M&M.
It doesn't look like an M&M.
Well,
it's more disgusting.
Yeah, well, so, Sue, what do? I put the Advantix is what we use. We did it 2 weeks ago on all the cats and the dogs. The day that we put the Advantix on, I look on the floor. 15 minutes later, there's one of these, you know, ticks that I just showed you the picture of that had been blown up, sucking the blood, and it was dead. It had dropped on the floor.
Okay.
So that means the Advantix worked. But 2 weeks later, it's too early to put the Advantix on again, right?
And it's still doing it.
And they're still attaching. So I honestly don't know what to do. And
maybe a vet knows. Somebody let us know. What's
well,
the best
Genie
anti-tick?
At Pet Supplies Plus gave me some natural tick spray also, and I use that around the dog beds, and maybe I need to do that again. But it's just, it's worse than it ever has been. So I'm not, and I've talked to my neighbors, and I think I'm not the only one that's experiencing this. Here's a story I want to get to this afternoon. Tim Summers coming up to talk music. He's one of my go-to music guys. We have an audio cut of the day as well. But I wanted to get this story in before we wrap the afternoon, and I'll play a little television story from Minneapolis. Barry Weiss, who resigned from the New York Times maybe even 2 years ago now, has launched a new podcast, and she's been telling the story of how the media landscape is pretty effed up and also the cancel culture. And this is one that happened, I guess this might have even been last year in Minneapolis, that people had not heard about. So there is a Palestinian immigrant who opened a business making hummus back in the early 90s, and he called it Holy Land. The business grew to the point where it had 200 employees, including every member of his family. And over time, Holy Land was a big business. It sold products to national chains like Costco, and back in 2010, it was even featured in the New York Times. So this is a local news report from last March. You can hear the excitement about Holy Land and all the hummus that they're selling because it was extremely successful.
I've never seen anything like this.
At the risk of sounding sacrilegious, taking a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in northeast Minneapolis just for the chicken?
Super tender, super juicy.
Would leave you full, yet somehow empty.
We do everything here.
You'd miss the butcher shop and the grocery store that brings Middle Eastern flavors to the Midwest.
It's a little bit cold.
And the production facility, where every day they turn 2,500 pounds of chickpeas into the now legendary Holy Land hummus. This is really the secret to why the hummus is so good, right?
Exactly, because it's made in such small batches, that's why it's so fresh.
You might miss the hospitality from three generations of the Wadi family, living the American dream on this spot for more than 30 years.
I need some. What's that bread you put with the hummus? That's what I have a taste for.
Pita bread.
Pita bread. Thank you very much. I was drawing a blank on that. Mm. So really successful. Again, they had sold to Costco. The business was thriving. But then last year, we, of course, in Minneapolis had the George Floyd situation. In the aftermath of that, somebody dug up some tweets that the owner's daughter, Leanne, had written when she was in high school. And she was 16 years old. Now, these are bad tweets. Sometimes you get these things that come up. They're not so bad. There's really no way to really, you
it's
know.
Just it's just flat bad. Out it's bad. Bad.
Well, here, I'm just going to tell you what they're. Top three races. This was the tweet. Top three races you wish to eliminate. Ready, go.
What?
Jews, blacks, and the fats.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Okay, so not good. But she was 16 at the time. This happened many years ago. She had been working in the business, and somebody digs this up. They want not only her canceled, but they want the whole business canceled because this is unacceptable. They're calling for the business owner even to fire his own daughter. So she goes on social media, tries to apologize.
They were such, like, horrible and vile things, and that's not who I am. It's not what I believe in. Those statements were made a long time ago, and like I was at a different place in my life. They in no way, shape, or form reflect who I am as a person today.
So
how old is she now?
Andrew, do you know how old she is now?
She looks to be in
her 20s, maybe, right?
Early 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So his company lost $5 million worth of contracts as Costco and other stores dropped him with no explanation. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't even talk to him. The owner of the building where they had their largest location canceled their lease, so they had to close. Now, he said he could have sued, but he was worried if he sues, the business becomes a target for protesters or arsonists or, you know, folks who want to do things along those lines. Now, this is what's interesting. This is one of the reasons that Barry Weiss is writing about it, because you had 69 people that were working for him in a factory that had been working there for 15 years, had nothing to do with it, and then all of a sudden this happens and it's over, right? So he used to live in Jordan before he immigrated to the U.S., and he and his roommate would talk about politics by whispering in each other's ears. You know why they did that? Well, because people were listening. There was always a concern that someone would overhear what they were saying, report you for something, and if you were reported, there would be a price to pay, or there could be a price to pay. Mm. So think about the dynamics that are at work here, and this is what Barry Weiss is saying. It's not just a random story. This is an example of what has been happening time and time again. It's been happening on liberal campuses across the country, and now it's happening everywhere. And look, those were terrible tweets by that little girl. But again, to have her father's, her whole family's business destroyed because of stupid things that she said when she was 16 years old, that just doesn't seem right either.
No. It's just heartbreaking. I don't know what the answer is.
Because there's a certain group of people, and this happened with the Ellie Kemper. There's parallels here with Ellie Kemper, just because people who know nothing about the situation, this is what happened with this girl, too. If you hear what she tweeted, yeah, you're angry, obviously, because it's ridiculously offensive. There's no, and she says that in her apology. 16-year-old kids say stupid things. I'm fairly confident that I did things when I was 13 through 16, 17, probably even beyond that, that never landed on social media because we didn't have social media.
Mark,
that could have gotten us all canceled back then.
That really is true.
Sure it is.
Social media has completely changed the game.
Yeah, it's a huge mistake to ever post anything on social media. It really is. There's no benefit and tons of potential there.
Well, you know what happens in employers will certainly, I've tried to tell my kids this, you know, my older kids, you're going for a job, someone's going to dig through.
Yeah, they are.
And they're going to look at your social media.
That's correct.
It's one of the first things that they're going to do, and you better have an explanation for some of the things that you've written. 521, 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there. Tim Summer, we're going to talk music next. I do like me some Boston. Put some classic rock bumps in here. I put Hitch a Ride down as
you
one
did.
Of it. I just love that solo. and Hit Your Ride. It's like one of my go-to guitar solo songs of all time. Let's talk a little music here on a Friday evening. Tim Sommer is a journalist, former record company executive, and contributor to the Rock and Globe, Rock and Roll Globe website. A couple of things going on, including Record Store Day this weekend. Tim, how are you? Happy Friday to you.
I'm doing wonderful. And I'll tell you something. They should re-release the Boston's debut album every Record Store Day, just to remind people that it is one of the best made and best sounding and most enjoyable records ever made.
It really is. And I'm kind of fond of the second record, too. But that was, you know, and you and I have talked about those first records that I've ever purchased. Those were two of the first records. I would say two of the first 10 pieces of vinyl that I ever, you know, had myself. Like, I went to the store and got them. Those two records would be in that collection for sure.
I did not mean to put down the second Boston album by any means. I also want to say, if there isn't someone listening to your radio station, someone forming a band who doesn't go out and name their new band Uncomfortable Air Puff, they're missing a great opportunity.
Yes, I've heard that a couple of times today.
you're driving down the highway. You see a marquee and it says Uncomfortable Air Puff. What do? You buy yourself a Slurpee and you pull over and you see that band. That's what you do.
That's how people get band names sometimes, for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about Record Store Day. This has been something that's picked up. They're doing something weird. I checked in with my buddy Mark Carter, who has the music record shop here in St. Louis, and they're doing a bit of a split, aren't they, this year with the Record Store Day? Plus, they have one in the fall, so all this gets a little bit more confusing than it used to be.
Now, I'm interested. What is your friend excited about? Well, he actually is in retail.
You know, his answer to me, this sort of surprised me, because they had said with the split, because there's like part one this weekend and then there's another one, so they're actually sitting this one out because of some of the special releases. They couldn't get all the marketing together, so I think he's going to be ready to go on the next one. So they're not doing a whole lot for this one.
Well, I'll tell you, good thing and bad thing about Record Store Day, good thing, Ramones live album from 1979, I think it's a double album, that's a good thing. Bad thing, the Who's face dances on colored vinyl. Now, you didn't need the Who's face dances the first time around. Why do you need it on colored vinyl? And that's kind of a negative thing about Record Store Day, is the fact that you have a lot of people just putting out releases that are, you know, that are not that interesting, or people weren't interested in that first time, but you put it on colored vinyl and they think they're going to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to get people into the record stores, not so much because I want to bring back record store culture, well, I think it's fantastic to support independent retailers, not so much because of that, but because it's great to get people interested in music, but get them interested by putting out unique product.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of the point of what I was saying in the intro, is that this used to be a very unique thing. I think they only had one Record Store Day, and I'm not sure if was that the Black Friday one around Thanksgiving, and now they have two and maybe three because they're splitting this up this summer.
Yeah.
It kind of waters it down a little bit.
I totally agree. It's interesting, when preparing for this, you know, I saw that there was a list of the records that are going to be released for the July Record Store Day, and there were a list of the records that are going to be released tomorrow for the June 12th Record Store Day. And I agree, it was a little confusing. I know a lot of people are very excited about the Prince release, but we shouldn't forget, that's a record that's been previously released, albeit released as sort of a bonus record. But the idea of getting stuff out there that may be hard to get, that's a great thing about Record Store Day. And that's, for instance, what they're doing with the Prince release. There is a terrific Kinks album called Percy, P-E-R-C-Y, Percy, that's coming out, that hasn't been available for 25 or 30 years. It's a film soundtrack that just hasn't been out there, hasn't been available in any format, and that's coming out. That's kind of an exciting thing.
So I guess one of the reasons that this is getting watered down a little bit, they're doing this two-day drop because of the supply chain issues. And, you know, the vinyl industry, just like a lot of others, Tim, have been hit. They haven't been able to print the records as much as they had in the past because of some of the things that are happening. So that's one of the reasons that they're splitting it up this summer. But it does get confusing for fans who are trying to take advantage. I'm encouraged, and I've told you this before, I have a lot of new vinyl. I have a lot of my old vinyl. It's all unpacked in my listening room, which used to be my studio until I started here a few months ago, but I'm not a snob because I think digital music sounds fantastic. It really does sound good, but I do like pulling records out, putting them on the turntable, looking at the liner notes. Those are all the things that I really miss the most.
Now, I know that we've probably mentioned this before, so I apologize in advance for not knowing. You do have young people in your life, like teenagers or...
Well, at this point, I'm all over the board, and that's what's fun about music. So I have a 21 and 24-year-old, and then I have my little girl who's 6. And this little girl, she is requiring me every night when she takes a shower. I have to have the Bluetooth speaker. I have a mix that's created for her on Tidal right now that's called Alexa's Mix, and she just loves music. She cannot get enough of it, and it's fantastic.
See, that's utterly wonderful, and... My question is, your 21 and 24-year-old, do they have any interest in vinyl? I'm just curious.
Yes, no, good question. And the 24-year-old, a couple of things that happened with him over the holidays, he said, yeah, I got a turntable. And he also said he was finally listening. Now, I took this kid when he was 16 years old to see the Rolling Stones in Chicago. I took him when he was 16 or 17 to see the E Street Band in Kansas City. And was trying to do a little musical education. He finally told me at Christmas this year, when he's about to turn 24, that he bought some Springsteen records. So again, that's good parenting, I think, Tim.
One of the very interesting things about that is, and I think this will make a lot of sense to you and a lot of your listeners. When I was a kid, I didn't share a lot with my mother. My mother was considerably older than me. We didn't have a lot that we would sit down and talk about. But every Saturday night, we would sit together and watch Carol Burnett. And that became something we would do. Now, to hear that you can share things like Bruce Springsteen, not to mention all of the other musical acts that you probably share with your children or near adult children, to hear that you can share those things with your children is just marvelous.
It has been one of my favorite things as a parent. I'm very lucky because even when my kids were teenagers, they were into a lot of the alternative music that I was into and my wife was into. And then as they've gotten a little older, they've steered away from some of the things that they even liked. We all do that, right? But they're all, every one of my kids, very passionate about music. And just to see this develop with my daughter, because she loves to sing along, and I'm a terrible parent because she's belting out L. King's Drunk and I Want to Go Home in my basement, but kind of have conversations about that. But the amount of passion that I see in this little girl for music, I didn't even see this in my boys and probably not in me. So I don't know that where that takes her eventually, but she loves it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. When you were that age or a little bit older, reading Mad Magazine or National Lampoon didn't warp you forever. Singing along to that, that's not going to warp her forever.
Yeah, no. Well, and you know what's funny about that is, like, when I was her age, music was just starting. Like, FM didn't really exist. I listened to music on AM radio on WLS when I was a kid in Chicago, listened to all the top music. That's really what piqued my interest originally, was finally hearing hit music. And that, you know, when my mom and dad were kids, and are you older than me or younger than me? I can never remember, Tim.
I've got maybe like 2 years.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, if you go a little bit before when we were kids, there wasn't even music for kids to listen to at all.
No. No, there wasn't. It wasn't an industry. Yeah.
All right. Anything else on your mind? The one thing that I heard this week, and I missed this interview on East Street Radio, which is on Sirius XM, but Springsteen came out and said a couple of things, that he's going back to Broadway to do the show, a new run. I think it's going to be donated to charity. I'm very fortunate I was able to see that show a couple of years ago, Springsteen on Broadway. He also said, yes, a tour is coming up in 2022. No details. He has worked with Brandon Flowers and the Killers. Brandon Flowers, hugely inspired by Springsteen and the band, and that's supposedly coming out next week. And then I guess he even did some stuff with Mellencamp. Bruce has been busy during the pandemic, hasn't he?
Well, I think that's a wonderful thing. What do you do as you get older? What's the best thing an artist can do? Keep moving. Keep walking. And not only that, he appears to be challenging himself a little bit. He's not staying in his comfort zone. You think it's easy to go? I mean, I know the tickets cost a lot of money, but do you think it's easy to step out alone on stage every night? And you've spent your life with a band in back of you, and he has to do that every night. And he doesn't only have to make that fresh for his audience every night. He has to make that fresh for himself every night. That's not a comfortable thing, and that's very, very challenging. And I have enormous, enormous respect for that.
Did you catch the Broadway show by any chance?
No, I didn't. I'm not, and that's unfortunate.
You know, as much as I will say this, and I didn't know what to go, you know, expect, it seemed like it was something that I had to check off my list, and I was very fortunate to get tickets during what was essentially the second run in I guess it would be 2019. I don't know. It was a couple of years ago, and I'm losing track of time because of the pandemic. But even as much as I've known about Springsteen, reading the book, seeing documentaries, all that, it was a very, very special and very emotional show. And, of course, you can watch that. I think they have it up on Netflix, right?
Yes.
It's on one of the streaming services. Not quite the same as being there in person, but it was unique, and he did a great job with it, which is why I think he even won a Tony Award for that particular show. But I'm excited about music overall. Coming back.
I'll tell you one of the interesting things about that show is many, many years ago, I'm talking about like in the 1970s, maybe it was the 80s, I read something that Brian Eno said, the famous record producer Brian Eno, and he said he didn't understand, he thought there would come a time when artists no longer toured, when they would just set up somewhere and people would come to them. And I think Springsteen is pioneering that. And I'm not saying it's not a great thing that he doesn't go, like, put himself in a bus and travel the world, but I'm wondering how come more artists don't set themselves up in Las Vegas, don't set themselves up at one theater in Los Angeles, one theater in New York City, and just do that three times a year and have people come to them. And I think Bruce Springsteen is very pioneering in that.
I'm a little surprised it doesn't happen more often, too, because you do, you know, and when I was just in Vegas last week, you do have a lot of the, you know, residencies coming back, and they range the gamut from pop to rock to country.
That's right. If you were to hear, for instance, and I'm not a big fan one way or the other. I certainly admire what they do. But if you were to hear, let's say, Kiss, we're setting up with a big, big, outrageous show in Las Vegas, you'd say, okay, that's a good idea. I want to go to that. I'll go see Kiss. I'll probably go see him again. I'll see him a couple of times. It's like, I don't understand why more artists don't do that.
But to your point, I think one of your points is, why not do it in Chicago? Like, you could have a Midwest run or something like that. Or I was a little surprised, and I think there were rumors that Bruce was going to take the Broadway show to L.A. and do it on the West Coast as well, and maybe the pandemic got in the way of that. Tim Sommer, always a thrill to talk music with you on the Rock and Roll Globe website. We'll do it again very soon. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Well, this may make you a little bit hungry. I'm a fan of the food shows. I have an episode of Top Chef that Becky and I think need to watch tonight from last night. But there is a brand new season of Food Network's Barbecue Brawl. It's going to premiere on Monday night. And we have a local participant, David Sandusky, will be in the show. David is the pitmaster at Beast and Butcher and Block. And he's with us this afternoon for a preview. David Sandusky, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
I am a little unfamiliar with the Sandusky name here when it comes to barbecue. We know a lot of folks on the Missouri side, but you're on the Illinois side, aren't you?
Oh, I'm a little offended. I've got one in the Grove on the Missouri side, too.
Oh, that's terrible of me not to know this. Well, so first and foremost, let's talk, because you're, what is it, Butcher and Block?
So I have three. Two of them are in Illinois. I've got Beastcraft Barbecue Company, which is the original. It's your classic barbecue joint, hole in the wall kind of place. The second location is Beast Butcher and Block in the Grove. That is more of a barbecue chop house with a butcher shop and a live fire dining room. And then I have my third baby is it's called Beast Southern Kitchen and Barbecue. It's in Columbia, and it's got more of a southern twang to the menu.
In Columbia, Illinois, or Columbia, Missouri?
Illinois.
Columbia, Illinois. So how did you get it? Before we get to the show, how did you get into all this stuff? And it's amazing how much, I guess maybe I would almost compare it to how craft beer took off just as being a hobby, because barbecue in the last decade has just become huge. So is this something you've done always, or that you kind of segued into at some point in your life?
Well, I was raised in fine dining, and I kind of grew out of love with it. There was just a sense of pretentiousness in that for no reason.
Yes, I can understand that.
It just didn't connect with people the way that I wanted to connect with people.
Right.
I loved barbecue, and so it was an easy fit, and it's highly competitive. And honestly, I get asked this question a lot. You know, people ask me, you know, why barbecue? Because it's, like you said, it's been so big in the last decade. It's so saturated. Like, why would you enter a market that you're going to have to compete so hard in? And my response is always that I kind of called my shot. I didn't want to do something that I didn't want to do it because it didn't exist and I was filling a new niche in an area I wanted to step into something that was already saturated and something that I loved and start swinging elbows, because I think that there's a place for doing things right. And I think there's a place for innovation. And I think that the details and how we treat the animals and how they're raised and things like that. I mean, I think all those things are important, and they should be important to many others in the business too. So I wanted to make my name for myself in something that was already saturated, because if I was going to do it, I knew I was going to do it big. And you don't do it big by just filling a niche.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be at the top of the mountain.
Well, I love the approach. I love it. And apparently you've succeeded to a certain extent, because here you are on the upcoming season. Starts on Monday night at 8 p.m. Central, Barbecue Brawl. I like a lot of the cooking shows. I have not caught Barbecue Brawl. So explain the show. How does it work, and what are you going to be doing here?
Well, it's an elimination show. We're going to be teamed up, and then we're going to cook our butts off, and then whoever's left standing is the master of cue, as they call it.
Is it, you know, a lot of the cooking, I watch Top Chef, I watch Master Chef Junior with my daughter, but it's with a lot of those shows, they do like a quick fire challenge or something like that, and then a main challenge. Can you tell us anything about the challenges and how they work with the fellow barbecue participants?
You know what? I'm gonna leave that for Monday night. I think everybody's gonna be pleasantly surprised with what they see, and they're gonna be impressed with how the show is built. It's going to be a great time, but I'm going to leave most of that to the
show. That's under. We don't want to get you in trouble too with the folks on Food Network, but you do have Bobby Flay and Michael Simon here, kind of involved, right, as the hosts.
Yes, yeah, they are phenomenal. Yeah, Bobby Flay, Michael Simon, and Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, who's Eddie Jackson? Was he someone that was kind of added? I'm not familiar with his reputation. Added to the mix this year on this season.
Eddie Jackson is new to the show. He is not new to the Food Network, however. He won a season of Food Network, the next Food Network star. He's also a former NFL player. He's extremely talented, and we were lucky to have him on the show this season.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that was the same Eddie Jackson. I guess I should have known that he was the football player Eddie Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Played for the Bears, if I'm not mistaken.
No pun intended.
Wait, I missed what you said. You cut out, because that was probably a good line. What'd you say?
I said he's a beast. No pun intended.
Ah, yeah, there you go. David Sandusky, who's going to compete on the Food Network. How do you like this television thing? You like that?
I love it. I was born to do this stuff, not just cooking in the business, but the TV aspect of it too. I hope to do a lot more of it. It kind of comes easy to me.
Well, that's awesome, and I'm sure they love you at the Food Network. Barbecue Brawl is the name of the show. It's going to premiere the new season Monday night, 8 p.m. on the Food Network. We're all going to be rooting for David Sandusky. Keep us posted. I'm guessing you're going to do pretty well here, so I think we're going to have further conversations. I know you can't tell me, but I have a gut feeling, okay? David, we'll see how this goes. Thanks a lot for coming on here this afternoon. All right, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, wrapping up the week here, it is very difficult for me to get away from more Jeffrey Toobin here this afternoon, since I was a little surprised they actually put another host in front of him on CNN asking him a question. I think we talked about this yesterday. I thought they were just going to give it one spin and have him do his explainer. But no. We got much more on Jeffrey Toobin playing with his Toobin.
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much, and it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story. I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess.
I mean, we talked about this yesterday, so wasn't it at least a little fascinating that he went to that specific point about whether or not he thought the camera was on or not? Because so we actually brought that up because some people were opening up to the possibility that, you know, maybe he did this on purpose, right?
Well, Yeah, I mean, unless you are 100% sure, in other words, not in the same room as the computer, why would you do that?
Well, I don't think he's going to make that mistake again, although I suppose you just never know. I'm going to do number one songs quickly. This Day in History, a feature that I usually do on Fridays, but we're going to rush it in here. This was number one. I don't even know this song. This was The One Ads.
Yeah.
Sue said she knew it.
Yeah.
It was number one 50 years ago today, 1971. In 1981, we had been going to the number two song, but Kim Carnes.
Well, she brought to my attention that we never actually played this song.
We probably didn't, right?
We never got around. We skipped it because we knew that it was going to be on the number one. It would be the number one song for like 15
forever.
Straight weeks. Yeah.
I know exactly how long the intro to this song is, 15 seconds, because I used to smash the posts on it. 1991. Paula Abdul was number one. In 2001, Christina Aguilera. And 2011, it was Adele. Believe it or not, that was 10 years ago. And right now, the number one song, BTS, which I thought they were, I'm still confused. I thought this was a Korean band, but they don't sound as Korean.
Hey, this is Andrew's forte.
It is. I love BTS.
Yes.
All right, well, there you go. Your number one song is This Day in History. And I always go out with a song, so we're going to go out tonight with this song. Brand new John Mayer, which is called Last Train Home. And I kind of like the end of it because, and I had to search a little bit to see who was joining him on this song, but it's Maren Morris. Check it out. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.